When did Christmas become so cluttered? Somewhere amidst the toys and decorating, the wrapping paper and visits from Santa, there's a divine story about the birth of a baby boy. Amidst the fancy office parties, gingerbread decorating, and eggnog lattes, we've somehow accumulated a barrage of distractions. Was it when we strategized local sales, or when sanity was lost in the luggage? With maxed out credit and empty wallets, our calendars bustled with comprehensive lists, tiresome reminders, and closing deadlines. We seem to have forgotten the real reason for the season. But maybe this year will be different. Maybe this year will be uncluttered.
Well, CCV, it's getting real close to Christmas. And all of our campuses and all of your programs, you have some of these cards, the invite cards, and I want to encourage you to take these with you and pass them out to coworkers and neighbors and friends. Make sure you don't come alone to one of our Christmas services. This is an easy invite because the Christmas time of the year is the one time where our friends that maybe rarely go to church will be open for an invitation. And so you're our advertisement. Please go out and say, look, won't you come with me and try church on Christmas? Because it's a great time to literally let them experience what's happening and what God is doing on all of our campuses. We're continuing our sermon series entitled Uncluttered. Do you realize that 75% of Americans view Christmas with dread instead of joy? For many people, it's one of the most stressful times of the year. How do you resist the cultural pressure to buy more and more and more gifts? How do you keep your December calendar from being overwhelmed with parties and activities? Or do you have enough time to spend with the people that you really want to hang out with? You see, this Christmas, how can we make room for the relationships that really matter? First of all, you need to be focused. If you want to unclutter your Christmas this year, you've got to have a relational focal point. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, which relationships are you going to give the top priority? Because our assumption is you don't have time for all of your relationships. So, does a priority go to your parents, or your spouse, or your children, or maybe a single friend, or even to God? Because too many relationships clutter up the whole Christmas experience. Maybe I could relate it this way. Let's say you have a closet, and you go in your closet, and it's full of clothes. And what happens? You go out and you buy some new clothes, and you bring them home, and you don't have any place to hang them up. Until what? You get rid of some of the other clothes. In fact, somebody told me something, maybe everybody does that, I'd never heard of it before, that what they do is every time they wear a garment or an article of clothing, they put it in their closet and they turn the hanger a different way. And that way they can tell over a course of months or years, if the hangers aren't turned, then they mean, you know what, we've never worn that in 1 or 2 or 3 years, so it's time to get rid of it. I thought that was rather incredible. Just a little special bonus for those of you coming to CCV, all right? But that's not my takeaway. You see, some of you probably need to take away some of your clothes or some of your relationships this Christmas. Why is that? Because every item in your closet doesn't get the same use. It's not of the same value. It doesn't get the same attention. Likewise, every relationship does not have equal value to you. Everyone doesn't have the same time. Everyone doesn't get the same attention. According to McCandless and Bryan, who researched the frequency of the term breakup or broken in Facebook statuses, here's what they found. The highest breakup period of the year was... want to guess? Spring break. The second highest breakup period was 2 weeks before Christmas. People going through relational adjustments. But if you think you've got some tough choices to make relationally this Christmas, can you imagine what young Mary went through? Let's look at it from her perspective. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke 1, verse 26, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this must be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child, will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How can this be, Mary asked, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born to you will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who has said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I'm the Lord's servant, Mary said. May it be to me as you have said. And the angel left her. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. You see, Mary had to make a choice. Here she is, probably a young teenage girl. She's looking forward to that time of the year, hanging out with all of her friends. But after that encounter with an angel from God, everything changed. And so she had to make a choice in her relationships. Will she now spend more time with her friends or with her family or with her fiancé, or will she follow God? She had to make a decision to put God first. I want to ask you, on all of our campuses, have you made a decision to put God first? If you have, how has that changed some of your relationships? Because you see, if we're not careful, what happens? Our Christmas is already full. Our life is already full of relationships and activities. And what happens? We decide to follow Jesus Christ. And when you decide to follow Jesus Christ, that means what? You're going to make him the Lord and leader of your life. And so if you want to grow in your faith, it means you're going to be involved in service, you're going to commit to worship on a regular basis, and you're going to get involved in a group with other believers so you can grow and have some accountability. If your calendar or your life is already cluttered and full, and you add those responsibilities, it's not going to get better. It's going to what? It's going to get worse. It's going to get more cluttered. And so you see, when you say yes to God, you have to say no to some relationships. I'll repeat that. Part of saying yes to God, part of being a Christ follower in a hectic lifestyle is you have to say no to some relationships. The Bible puts it this way, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well. This one event changed Mary's life. Isn't it amazing how one event can change the direction of your life? Maybe you go to a ball game. You have too many drinks. You get in the car. You have an accident, and you kill an innocent person. And the ramifications from that one experience or that one event changes your life forever. Or maybe you go out on a date, and you decide to have sex. You think it's protected, but something happens. It's unprotected, and you get pregnant. And your boyfriend says, I'm sorry, I don't want anything to do with the child, and you become a single mom, and that one experience drastically changes your life forever. Or you're riding in a friend's car, having a good time. You don't know it, but he's driving too fast. He's got caught for speeding. He pulls it over. The police officer begins to look throughout the car and finds drugs. And you weren't even aware of it, but you might find out that everybody might end up in jail. Or what happens? One decision can change your life forever. You accept Jesus Christ. You let him be the Lord of your life, and you find no meaning and purpose. And what happens? You have to step back and reevaluate your relationships and your goals. You see, if your life is all cluttered, you got to focus. What does that mean? That means you have to prioritize if you want to maximize. If your Christmas is cluttered with too many relationships, you must prioritize so that you can spend the time with the people that really matter in your life. You want to maximize that relationship. You might be surprised to know how few people notice that you weren't at their Christmas party. And so what about Mary? Young woman, encounter with an angel from God. Her life was changed forever. She said yes to God, and that changed the direction and future of her life. Too many relationships at Christmas, we got to focus and prioritize so we can maximize. But some of you at Christmas, that's not your problem. You say, my problem at Christmas is so stressful because of the relationships. There's some bad relationships in our family. We don't all get along. And when we get together, it gets pretty toxic at Christmas. What do I need to do? You must be forgiving. I want you to watch this clip of what happened with this family. Maybe you can relate to it at Christmas. Does that remind you of your Christmas get-together at all? You see, all of us have those difficult family members that often make Christmas stressful and uncomfortable. How do you respond when you've been hurt? Well, we talked about Mary's perspective. Let's look at Joseph's perspective. How do you think he must have felt when he found out his girlfriend was pregnant and he knew he was not the father of her child? Turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it says this. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. But because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. We often talk about Mary being selected to be the mother of Jesus, and that was an incredible young lady. But I believe we also hear miss often the positive qualities in Joseph's life. The Bible says he was a righteous man. He didn't want to embarrass his wife publicly. He was obedient to the angel's command. He took her to her home, his home, and he treated her with respect as his wife. He honored God's word and did not have sex with her until the baby was born. Now, think about the next time that Mary and Joseph got together. Can you imagine the tension in the room? I wonder who spoke first. Mary, you wouldn't believe the dream I had. Joseph, you wouldn't believe the dream I had. And then they both were confirmed that what they had heard was from Almighty God. And so I'm convinced they could work through their struggle. But what about Mary's next encounter with her parents? We have no indication from Scripture that they received an angel from God that told them what was going to happen. Would they understand? Would their daughter's pregnancy disgrace their family? How do you deal with those unresolved family issues and difficult, annoying relatives every Christmas? How do you keep them from ruining everything? Here's a key from the Scripture. The Bible says in Ephesians, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. What's that mean? That says if you don't nip bitterness in the bud, it will grow and grow and grow until it ends up in malice, which is physical abuse. So what do? You got to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So how do you deal with those difficult family situations? You've got to release before you can rebuild. You got to release it before you ever have a chance to rebuild. You've got to forgive. It takes a forgiving spirit. It takes an attitude adjustment. A skycap at a major U.S. airport was checking a man in at curbside, and he accidentally knocked over his suitcase, and I mean the man became irate. The skycap apologized. The man began to curse him and verbally abuse him, but the skycap remained calm. He kept smiling, kept apologizing, and kept on working. The man continued his verbal assault and headed off to catch his plane. Everybody was standing around watching all this. And the next person up said to the skycap, man, I've never seen such self-control in my life. How were you able to keep so calm in the midst of such an abusive situation? The skycap said, you know what? It's really pretty easy. Because you see, that man is on his way to Denver. What he doesn't know is his bags are going to Detroit. Maybe some of you this Christmas would like to send an uncle to Detroit, or an ex-spouse to Detroit, or an in-law to Detroit. But you know what? Sending them to Detroit won't solve the situation. If you don't forgive and release, you'll never be able to rebuild the relationship. Okay. You might be thinking this, okay, who makes the first move? I mean, after all, They've never asked for my forgiveness. It's irrelevant. Who makes the first move? The one who is mature in Jesus Christ. And why do we make the first move? Because we realize we've been forgiven by Jesus for what we've done. And you might say, I don't want to forgive them. Okay, then you have option number two. Hang on to your bitterness and let it ruin your Christmas. How do you have a great Christmas this year? First of all, you got to be focused. That means you prioritize, and if you're going to prioritize, that means you've got to eliminate some relationships, because all relationships aren't equal, and you prioritize so that you can maximize the ones you want to spend time with. Secondly, you be forgiving, and you release the hurt and the pain and the bitterness, and you, as the mature believer, must go first, and you release it and ask for forgiveness so that you can rebuild the relationship. But thirdly, you must be willing to be flexible. Because you see, there's a lot of things that happen at Christmas that are out of our control. You've got to be flexible, because how do you deal with those unexpected things that come up all the time? Now, you think you've got to be flexible? Think about what happened to Mary and Joseph. Here's Mary and Joseph. He's asked to go to Bethlehem to register with his young wife. Let's see what happens. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Verse 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee and Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the line and house of David. Now, how far was it from Nazareth to Bethlehem? It's about 80 miles. So if they traveled 20 miles a day walking or traveling on the donkey because she was with child, it would probably take them 4 days to a week to literally get there. Bethlehem then was about 5 miles from Jerusalem. So they went about 80 miles. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for a baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So here's his flexibility. He's going to go just to be registered. They take 4 or 5 days, however long it took. They get there, and all of a sudden, she has a baby. And so they're there longer than 2 weeks. Well, you say, how long was it? Well, turn over to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13. We don't know exactly how long they were in Bethlehem. It could have been up to 2 years of age, because Herod issued a decree that all the baby boys up to age 2 should be killed when they found out the report from the wise men. So however long it was, the wise men showed up at the house where Mary and Joseph and the baby and Jesus was. And after they gave their presents, they left. Matthew chapter 2 verse 13 says, When the wise men had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother during the night, had to get out of town quick, and left for Egypt, where he stayed there until the death of Herod. Drop down to verse 19. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph while he was in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead. And so the Bible says he got up, and they went from Egypt to Nazareth, where young Joseph and Jesus grew up as a young boy. So you talk about being flexible. We don't know exactly how long it was, but let's say it's almost up to 2 years there in Bethlehem. They go to Egypt, and most scholars would say it's somewhere between 2 and 6 years that they were in Egypt before they finally went back to Nazareth. A 2-week round trip turns into a several-year adventure. You got to be flexible. What are the adjustments that you're going to have to make this Christmas? Maybe it's your travel arrangements. You're going to have to be flexible. Whether you drive or fly, everything's going great. The weather changes drastically, and it messes everything up. Or maybe the adjustments you have to make is you're a part of a blended family, and you have to go to this family for Christmas Eve or this part of the family for Christmas morning or Christmas lunch or Christmas dinner, and after it's all over, you are exhausted. Or maybe your adjustment is that you're a single and you spend Christmas alone. Or maybe someone invites you as a single to go spend Christmas with them, but you're reluctant to go. Or sometimes where we have to be the most flexible is those difficult family traditions at Christmas. You have to eat that special food every Christmas Eve or every Christmas morning, whether you like it or not. Or maybe your family opens gifts in a different way. Maybe some of you open presents all at the same time. Or some families say, no, we start with the youngest first, they open their present, we wait till they're done, and then the next oldest, and when everybody gets through, we go back to the second present, and we do it again, and you're sitting there thinking, Jesus is going to come back before we ever get these presents open. Because you see, we all have different adjustments that we have to make. Or do you read the Christmas story and pray? Do you sing Christmas carols? Do you make a birthday cake for Jesus? Or do you completely leave Jesus out? Those are adjustments that all of us have to make at Christmas. How in the world do you stay flexible in that situation? You ask God to help you adjust. Bible puts it this way, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Why? He knows what's going on. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. Mean, don't try to figure everything out yourself. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. In other words, if you're going to be flexible with relationships at Christmas, you've got to adjust and be willing to trust. You've heard me say many times around CCV, it's this whole palms up versus palms down thing. Because if you're a highly organized person, you've got everything planned. You want no mess ups. And so when you say, God, this year I'm going to turn it over to you and everything's going to be great. I'm going to trust you. But the first time something doesn't go the way you planned, you take control again. No, it's not palms up, control. It is palms down and commit. You leave it to Jesus and put the situation in His hands and say, God, I can't handle it all. I can't micromanage everything. I'm going to relax and enjoy it and let you handle it. How do you unclutter your Christmas and make room for relationships? Well, you need to be focused so you can prioritize and maximize the relationships that matter the most. Secondly, be forgiving so you can relax and release those difficult people to God so that you can rebuild that relationship. Thirdly, you got to be flexible. Why? Because everything's not going to work out exactly like you planned. You've got to adjust and trust God to do what is best. Nothing is impossible with God. God is able to do more than we can ask or think or imagine according to His power that is at work within us. So this Christmas, the relationships we have to work out, let's turn them over to the Lord and let Him take care of it. What's the takeaway? What I want you to do this year for the takeaway is I want you to intentionally make a memory. Make a memory. And I'd like for you to try to make a positive memory. You see, you can't choose how people will react, but you can choose the memory that you want to make. All of us have Christmas memories, good or bad, whether we like it or not. And I was thinking back on about four Christmas memories that I can remember from my life. One would be when I was probably in the first or second grade, Santa Claus came to our little country house and ho, 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 beat on the door and came in. And as a first and second grader, that blew me away that Santa could get all the way from the North Pole and find us. I couldn't figure that out. And then Santa started passing out the gifts, and I noticed that Santa's voice sounded like Uncle Clyde. And that was kind of weird for me as a first and second grader. And after Santa left, alias Uncle Clyde, we had a very interesting family conversation about who was Santa Claus. That's a first memory I remember as a little kid. Then we got older, and we all got married and started going different ways, and we came back for Christmas, and we chose names and gave out Christmas presents. And one particular year, I thought I'd do something a little different. And so there was one present left under the Christmas tree. It was to my dad, but it didn't say where it was from. And what I did is I went out and bought an inflatable woman for my dad. Now, you say, wait a minute. It had clothes on. This is 45 years ago, okay? All right, so it's just an inflatable, woman that popped up there, about he could sit next to it. Anyway, he took it out, said, what in the world is this? They blew it up, And he started laughing. He thought that was the funniest thing that ever happened. My mother wasn't so excited about my gift to them. But that is a memory. If you would go back and ask my brothers and sisters, they will say, I'll never forget that. Or another memory I'll never forget is when our children were preschool. It was our first Christmas in Phoenix. We came out here before we moved to have Christmas with some of our cousins, and they had preschool kids as well, and I'll never forget that Christmas. They read the Christmas story, and all these little preschool kids, cousins, they each took a part of the nativity set, and they pulled it all apart, and as we read the Christmas story, they put it all back together. And I can tell you, that's probably one of the most meaningful things that I'll ever remember, I'll ever forget. And then our kids got older. Our kids married, grandkids, all in the ministry. Our Christmas tradition is 15 Christmas Eve services almost every year. So we get together after that, and some of the best memories we've had have been little cost, where we go to the camp in Prescott between Christmas and New Year's, or we went one year to the Young Life camp in Williams. And we got there about an hour before a major snowstorm hit, and the drifts were high, and we got outside and played in the snow for 3 days. We stayed together and played games and interacted and had a great time together. Those are the memories that I want you to know I'll never forget. You see, if we're not careful, the presents that we give often decrease in value, but I'm convinced the memories become more valuable the older you get. So the question is, every holiday has memories. What memory do you want to make this Christmas that your family will never forget? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for the Word of God. And as we think about the struggles and hassles and adjustments we have to go through, it's nothing to what Mary and Joseph had to go through on that first Christmas 2,000 years ago. I pray that we'd be flexible, that we'd forgive those that have hurt us, and we release it to you. And Lord, we'd be focused and make up our mind, let's be intentional, the people that really matter to us, that we spend time with them this Christmas. And most of all, make sure we spend time with you, because you're the reason that we celebrate Christmas. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.